Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen were the last words that we heard from our Lord in this morning's gospel lesson from the 20th chapter of St. Matthew. And this was just one of two parables that Jesus is recorded to have taught, in which he says the same thing. This becomes an important aspect of what Jesus is trying to reveal in terms of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, and particularly with regard to the incarnation and the Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity being made flesh and appearing among them full of grace and truth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Another way of saying this, as we have come to this Septuagesima Sunday, this Sunday in pre-Lent, this first Sunday in pre-Lent, is in saying that the gospel has gone out into all the world, but few have responded. Many are called. God's grace goes out to all. I talked about this last Sunday. His energies, the light of his glory goes out into all creation. But men love the darkness rather than the light. This whole idea of God's choosing is something that we often struggle with. And particularly for those of us who may have come out of a Protestant tradition and particularly a Calvinistic theology, this whole idea of God's providence, God's choosing, is often misunderstood in this exclusive way. That is to say, God chose, for instance, Israel to be his chosen people in exclusion to all the other nations and tribes of the world. God didn't choose the Germans or the Irish or the Asians. God didn't choose any other number of cultures and nations, but rather God chose a man named Abraham, calling him out of Ur the Chaldees. And from Abraham, that covenant, the promises of God would extend to not only Abraham, but we know to Isaac and to Jacob, whose descendants would become the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But God never chooses. God never chooses in an arbitrary and capricious way. And God's choosing is never done in an exclusive way, but always with the heart of bringing all people to salvation. God chose Israel, rather, in order to be priest to the nations, in order to be the visible manifestation of a people anointed of God, and bringing them and bringing those other nations into the same covenantal relationship that Israel would enjoy. I want to take you through just a few scriptures and helping us to better understand this idea of God's choosing. From Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And of course, we know that this is a reference to Israel. They were a chosen people. But we know in the Abrahamic covenant that they were to be the priests to the nations. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 5, for the Lord your God has chosen him, that is Aaron, and his sons, out of all your tribes, to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So we have here God's choosing among the 12 tribes of a chosen people. He chooses one tribe. That is the descendants, the tribe of Levi, the descendants of Aaron, the high priest, who was anointed. The special ministry among an anointed and chosen people. They were the priests of the priests to the nations. But it wasn't done in an exclusive way, but rather in a way and in a manner in which all the tribes of Israel would be able to enjoy and be recipients of God's saving grace through the ministry and the service of these set apart ministers of God and priests of God. We know that God chose a king when the time had come. He chose Saul to be king. And the sons of Jesse, even though everyone thought that it should have been one of David's older brothers, he chose the least and the youngest in choosing David. God chose not David to build the temple, but rather he chose Solomon, his son, to build the temple. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And then, of course, we know that in the ministry of Christ, Jesus chose his disciples. He called them first. And so we begin to understand something about God's choosing. Many are called. And we see that even within Jesus' ministry. The rich young ruler that came to him who had many possessions. And even though we're not all called to live a life of poverty, knowing that wealth in this particular man's case was an obstacle to his coming into the kingdom of heaven, even though he had a desire to be a follower of Jesus. And the man saying, "I've kept all these commandments since my youth." And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and come and follow me." The call went out. The call went out. But why was he not chosen? The gospel tells us that he went away sad because he had many possessions. You see, God's choosing is based upon our response, our obedient and willful response. It is not an arbitrary and capricious God who just arbitrarily chooses to the exclusion of others, but rather within this covenantal grace, within God wooing his people into relationship with himself. He does so in a covenantal way, in a way, in a sacramental way, by which the priests of the nations, the priests of God, help to bring others, to draw others, to be those vessels of God's energies, his saving energies and grace and wooing and bringing others in. But it requires our willful response. In the same way that the most holy Theotokos, she was called of God. She was called of God, but the choosing was not complete until she said, "Be it unto me according to thy will." The choosing of Our Lady, the Most Holy Theotokos, the Blessed Virgin Mary, became a choice that was predicated upon her response. Yes, ordained of God. Yes, chosen of God, called of God. But the choosing, again, was in synergy with her willingness, with her own human will. We must understand that in terms of our salvation. In terms of our own salvation, that the Orthodox Church teaches that our salvation is not a guaranteed thing. And for a lot of people, especially coming out of those Protestant traditions in which it's taught that we have eternal security once we come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But rather, in hearing the epistle lesson this morning, which is very consistent with what the church teaches, St. Paul is saying and likening our salvation as running a race. And we've got to run the race as though we are achieving the crown, even though the prize is only given to one. And he says, you know, it's like beating the air and training our not only our bodies, but also our souls and bringing them into subjection. You see, the call goes out for our salvation, but we, in being chosen, must respond. We must respond to that call. We must not be like the rich young ruler who went away sorrowful, because though we have a heart desire for God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we're willing to lay down whatever it is in order to respond to God's grace. And I will say to each of you that that particular call is unique. Even though we are called in general to the saving grace of God, our individual call is unique in being able to discern. Within, a lot of people think that orthodoxy, the word orthodoxy itself, means like right doctrine, but it doesn't. It means right worship. You see, our primary meeting point for God in hearing and discerning his call and receiving the saving grace and energies of our Lord starts right here with worship, with right worship, not worship that's been contrived or innovated by man, but a pattern of worship that God himself, our Lord and the apostles, established from the very beginning. It is here within the mysteries of the sacraments of the church and our continuing to run the race, to fight the good fight, to do war against the passions of our and impulses of our soul that war against us. As we begin in this pre-Lenten season, we begin to take inventory of all those things that stand as barriers to God's saving grace and our being fully chosen as God's special people. But I also want us to know that even in the midst of our own human failures, even in the midst of our thinking that we have nothing to offer, I want to remind you of what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 and 28. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. If you look at who the men that Jesus called to be his disciples, they weren't scholars. They didn't have special training. These were, most of them were just common fishermen, uneducated, formerly uneducated fishermen, and despised tax collector. The foolish things, the base things of this world, to be the princes and the pillars of the church, the new Israel. Listen to what St. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Unless we forget that God desires that all men, all people come to the truth. Listen to what St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We have been called. The gospel goes out into all the world. God doesn't want any to perish, but for all to be saved, to come to salvation. And to be saved from what, we ask? To be saved from death and corruption. That by our baptism, our burial, our death and burial to self, we are raised again to new life. And through the seal, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be made new again. To bear the grace that God has intended in being that special people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is why you, all of us, not just the priest, but everybody here is sensed at the liturgy. The things that are sensed are only the things that are holy. Remember that. My call to ministry, I've shared with probably many of you before, my call to ministry really began at age 7. And I put that behind me and got out of high school, went into college, and I really was running away from God. I was living up to my name, James, which is the English rendering of the name Jacob. Jacob, who wrestled with God. I went to college, lived pretty much a debauched secular life. And by the grace of God, after getting married and starting a family, the Holy Spirit began to draw me back in the church. But I was a good dozen years into a professional, into a successful police career, law enforcement career that I was thoroughly enjoying when God hit me with that call again. And having been a preacher's kid, the last thing I ever thought I would do or want to do would be a pastor, to be a priest. And I got to tell you, it's while there are great benefits in terms of my own salvation, at a personal level, I still don't want to be up here. I still don't want to be a shepherd to God's people, if I'm honest. But God's call, God's choosing, is predicated upon our response. I don't know why God chose me, but he did. And that choosing was sealed. And my willingness to even lay aside my law enforcement career and say yes to God, I was not going to be disobedient to that. And in God's grace, he allowed me to finish my law enforcement career, showing me that that was just as much a part of my priesthood and ministry as being vested here for Mass on Sunday mornings. God is doing wonderful things. In many cases, it's uncomfortable things. But the call is going out. He's calling each of you, even the young kids who are here. God has a call upon each and every one. Many are called, but few are chosen. What is your choice in saying yes to God and responding to his choosing? Let us be faithful in all that he has called us to. And in closing, I want to read just one verse from Revelation 17, verse 14. It says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. And of course, we know that this is a reference to the Lamb of God, to Jesus Christ. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Are we with him? Can we say that we indeed have responded such that we could be called chosen and faithful? By the grace of God, may we all the days of our lives continue to run the race, to fight the good fight, to be obedient and responding to God's call, so that we all might be chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.